All right, let's just pray for ourselves. Let's pray for the preaching of the word. Father, we thank you this morning for the preaching of the word. We are so grateful that we can sit under the ministry of the word. Father, come and have your way today. We open our hearts to you, Lord. We pray that you speak to us. We thank you that the entrance of your word brings light and it brings understanding to those of a simple heart. And we're so grateful for your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, are you ready to hear the word? Fantastic. All right, if you're joining us for the first time, you're catching us in the middle of a series entitled Unwavering Faith. Amen. That's the title of the series we've been going through, Unwavering Faith. And I would encourage you to go onto our website. You'll be able to catch up with the rest of the series there as we continue this morning. I don't know, have you ever experienced somebody who is full of life, somebody who's excited about life, that the way that they talk, that the way that they express themselves, it is so attractive. When you get close to them, you can't help it but enjoy their presence. Hello? Have you come across people like that? These kind of people, when they walk in a room, and this room was dull, was gloomy, people were a bit sorrowful, but because of their yellowness, in terms of their extrovertness, they lift the spirit in the room. They make everybody feel like, you know, it's worth living life. Amen. There are people like that, that always brighten people whenever they get in touch with them. And you always want to be around people like that, isn't it? But the flip side of the coin is also true. There are people who seem to be sour most of the time. Yeah, when you come across them, you feel low, you feel down. When you leave their presence, you feel like I need a boost because you feel drowned or you feel drained by their presence. I'm hoping that it's not you today. Well, do you know that your life can either attract God or dispel God? The way you live can either be an attraction to God or can push God away because of the way you view life, because of the way you behave. Now, I want you to know that it is very possible for you, a child of God, to live such an attractive life that the heaven's attention is drawn upon you. You can live such an attractive life that angelic activities are always present in your life. It is possible for you and I to live like that. Now, this morning, I want to talk to you on a subject matter, faith that draws attention. Hello? I want to talk to you about faith that draws attention. Your faith must grow to such a point that it attracts heaven. Your faith must grow to such a point that it becomes contagious. That people around you, they want to be like you. I know people who are so driven in their walk with God that when you spend time with them, your faith experiences a boost. You leave that place thinking, you know, I can do anything because they're so positive in the outlook to life. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Hebrews 11, verse 5. Now, we've been camping on Hebrews chapter 11 in the past few weeks, and today we are going on to verse 5. The Bible says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. In other words, Enoch was raptured. Enoch was taken away from earth, and God took him. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found. Why? Because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. This was the testimony of Enoch. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. Now we're talking about Enoch here. And the Bible is saying Enoch walked with God in a very special way. To such an extent that God said, I just want to spend most of my time with you, I'm going to rapture you. I'm going to take you to myself so that I can forever see you. There must have been something so special about the way that Enoch walked with God. And this is what I want to talk about this morning. A faith that attracts God. A faith that draws attention. Now, what does walking with God look like? This is the question we're going to grapple with this morning. Because the desire of God is for you and I to walk with Him. Hello? The desire of God is for you and I to walk with Him. And here we see from the way that Enoch walked that it pleased God so much. You see, when God created you, one of His major intentions was to create fellowship with you. The reason why God created man in the way that He created him, it was so that God can spend time with man. Now, the story of Enoch is found in the book of Genesis chapter 5, verse 22. Let us go to where this story begins. In Genesis 5, from verse 21. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Verse 23. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. You see, when you look at what the life of Enoch, he did not start well. Enoch did not start well in walking with God. Why? Because the Bible says for 65 years, nothing much was happening in the life of Enoch. Maybe you are there right now where for some time there is drought in your spiritual walk with God. For some time you feel heaven is so far away from you. I don't know if you've been there where you hit a season in your life where you are praying, but it looks like your prayers are hitting your ceiling of your house. You don't feel the breakthrough in your times of prayer. You don't sense the presence of God in the time of worship. You come to church, you see people in tears in the presence of God, but for you, it's a bit dry. For you, it's a bit of a mundane, it's a routine. You're just doing it because you are in church. Now, the Bible says Enoch lived 65 years. He became a father of Methuselah. So the only thing that was known about Enoch was that he became a father of Methuselah. Do you know that in our lives we might be known for some things that are not so important? And yet for those very important things, we are nowhere on the radar. If you are a parent, you're a mom, you're a dad, you're a wife, you're a husband, what should be one of the most important things that are known about you? If you're a husband, what are you known about? If you're a father, what are you known about? If you're a worker, you're working somewhere, what are you known about? Do you know that if you're an employee, one of the things that should be known about you is he is a diligent or she's a diligent worker? You mustn't be known as one person who spreads gossip in the corridors. It is possible to have a name. And it depends what type of a name do you want to develop in your life. Now, for 65 years, Enoch was not known much in the spiritual realm. And then, the Bible says, after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God. There must have been a shift in the walk in the life of Enoch. And this shift was so clear that the heavens could not ignore Enoch. I want you to know that there is a shift that you need to have that will draw the heavens' attention. Hallelujah. There is a shift in your walk with God that should draw the attention of God. Where God would say, I need to come down and do something about this situation. Because there is something happening inside of you. The Bible says, after 65 years, he walked faithfully with God. My question is, what does it look like to walk with God? What does it look like to walk faithfully with God? Because that's the reason why God created me. It was for him to be able to walk with me. But am I fulfilling that in my relationship with God? You know, people can be so driven to do many other things, like earning a little bit more money. There's nothing wrong with that. But if that becomes our only obsession, we are missing our reason for being. We are missing our reason for being as children of God. Now, I want to show you a couple of versions of the same scripture, and it will give us an answer to what it means to walk in with God. Let's look at Genesis 5:22 from the Easy English Bible. The Bible says, after that, after he became a father of Methuselah, Enoch did as God wanted for 300 years. So if you want to answer that question of what does it look like to walk with God, there is one of the answers. Enoch did as God wanted. And that was so attractive before God. Enoch listened to God. In other words, before Enoch made a move, he inquired of the Father. He would say, God, what would you want me to do? The Bible says here, Enoch did as God wanted for 300 years. In other words, he was so obedient to God that God was attracted to the life of Enoch. God came down and said, I will walk with this man. Why? Because this man does whatever I want him to do. This morning, do you do whatever God wants you to do? This morning, do you wake up when God wants you to wake up for prayer? Or we tell God all sorts of reasons. We've just coming out of winter. Like, it's really, really cold. But you're asking yourself, I don't know why I'm not sleeping. I've just lost sleep. You're turning and turning in your bed. Maybe the Father is saying, I just want to talk to you. I just want to spend a little bit of time in the middle of the night, in the absence of all the distractions of life. The Bible says Enoch did whatever God wanted him to do. Do you know that it's not always pleasurable to us to do what God wants us to do? There are times where God will come to you and say, I want you to forgive. Do we forgive? Or we say, somebody has to pay the price. Enoch did whatever God wanted him. In other words, Enoch would never speak out of his own accord. He would say, whatever God places in my heart, I will speak it. I will say it. Do you know that so many times God would come to us and he would put a burden over our hearts to share the gospel with somebody. But we have made so many reasons. This week, some of you had an inclination to share the word, but you got so busy with life that the issue of the gospel took second stage. Enoch did whatever God wanted him to do. If it was today, Enoch would go to church even when it was not comfortable for him to go to church. Because God would say to him, do not neglect the meeting of brothers as in the habit of some of you. Enoch was so sold out to God that he was prepared to do whatever God asked him to do. That is what walking with God looks like. But today, many of us, we have seen Jesus as only our Savior, but not so much our Lord. But when you receive him, we need to receive him as our Lord and as our Savior. Yes, it is great he's your Savior, but is he Lord over all in your life? Is he Lord over all in my family? Is he Lord over all in my relationships? The reason why our relationships are a mess sometimes, it is because the Lord is not Lord over those relationships. Hello, somebody. Enoch did whatever God wanted him to. No wonder why God would always come down and walk with Enoch. It tells me something that if my inclination is not to do whatever God wants me to do, he is not attracted in my life. You see, God does not force himself on us. He is looking for a vessel that is available. He is looking for a vessel that says, yes, Lord. And God comes and he takes habitation in your life. When that happens, the whole of heaven is attracted to your life. Let's look at the NLT version. So we look at the NLT and the Amplified version. The Bible says, after the birth of Methuselah, Enoch lived in close fellowship with God. We are still talking about he walked with God. So walking with God entails a close fellowship with God. Enoch lived in close fellowship with God. The Amplified says he walked in habitual fellowship. You see, the walk of Enoch with God was not an on and off kind of relationship. It wasn't when he feels like it, he will talk to God. It wasn't like, if it is great outside, I'll talk to God. The Bible says here, Enoch was habitually in fellowship with God. When you look at that word fellowship, it is a friendly association with someone who shares the same interests with you. So when you talk about fellowship, we are talking about being in the presence or companionship with somebody who shares commonalities with you. What that meant is what was important in the heart of God became important in the heart of Enoch. Hello? What made the heart of God to grieve brought much grieving in the heart of Enoch. Today, if people of God could come to that point of being habitually in the presence of God, they will start carrying the burden of God. What is on the heart of the Father right now for our nation? What's on the heart of God for our nation right now? When last did we pray about our nation? Do you know that all nations belong to God? And the desire of God is for all nations to be reconciled back to Him. Guess what? If the church does not carry the heart of God concerning a nation, the will of God for that nation will not happen. So Enoch fellowshiped with God. He started carrying what was on the heart of God. And this morning, if you want to know what it means walking with God looks like, it is a person who says, whatever burdens you, Lord, I'll allow it to be my burden. He habitually fellowshiped with God. Two men in the same ship, going in the same direction, talking and sharing what's on their hearts. You see, I believe when God was looking at Enoch, there were things that God could not hide away from Enoch just because of his inclination of his heart. When you walk with God so closely, He will start giving you prophetic dreams about situations. He will start dropping things in your heart about the church. Why? Because you carry the heart of God concerning the church. You carry the heart of God concerning your neighborhood. Do you know that God is concerned about where you stay? He is concerned about the block of flats where you stay, about the neighborhood where you stay, about the college where you attend. But alas, we become so busy with our own lives to the detriment of the heart of God concerning where He has planted us. Do you know that you are the planting of the Lord wherever you are? I don't believe in life happening by chance. I believe in destiny. I believe that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. So if you are a righteous man, your steps are ordered by God. It means where you are is not by chance. It's not out of your doing. It's not out of your decision. You could have been sitting in another church right now, but hey, you are here. Hello? Enoch lived in close fellowship with God. I believe Enoch would wake up in the morning and the first thing that Enoch would see would be the face of God. It won't be Facebook. If there was Facebook then. I don't know. What's your automatic process when you wake up? You look at the updates. Instagram, WhatsApp, Facebook. What's your natural inclination when you wake up in the morning? Do you make a quality decision of saying, before I even look at my screen, I want to look at the face of the Almighty God. I want my knees to hit the deck and talk to the Father first before I update. Because our Facebook asks you, share what's on your mind. Before you share what's on your mind with the world which does not even care to read your update. Hello? Have you ever thought about it? When you update, who are you updating? When last did you update God what's on your heart? That's our walk with God. We update Facebook that doesn't really care a toot about us more than we update God who cares about our lives. Hello? Enoch fellowshiped with God. It was a habitual fellowship with God. It wasn't an on and off relationship with God. This morning is your relationship on and off. Cold, hot sometimes, warm, lukewarm sometimes. Where are you with your walk with God? You see, Enoch was not on and off. Whether Enoch was excited about life, Enoch was in the presence of God. Whether Enoch was angry with the same God, he was in the presence of God. Do you know that God wants us to share with him our deep-seated worries and concerns? To be able to cry out to God and say, you know what, God, I'm actually very angry right now. Do you think he's surprised by your anger? No, he's not. When you're so vulnerable with God, you'll be able to be like David, who would rant out on God, and then before he finishes the chapter, he says, I know you're a great God. You are a faithful God. You are a loving God. Though I was complaining all along, but you are faithful, Lord. Hallelujah. That is what walking with God is. You see, we have made our walk with God so difficult. It is so legalistic that we fail to be in touch with God. Let's look at the last one, the message. Enoch walked steadily with God. That's what the message says. Enoch walked steadily with God. I don't know what type of a car you drive. There are cars and there are cars. Hello? Okay. There are cars and there are cars and there are cars. There are cars that when you drive at 120, it loses its steadiness. You feel it's vibrating. And you can't go faster than 120 k's. But there are certain cars that when you drive, the faster you go, the more sturdy it becomes. The closer it gets to the ground. I don't know how they do it, but there are cars like that. I don't know what type of a car you drive in the spirit. Hello? The Bible says Enoch walked steadily with God. Enoch wasn't shaken by the winds of life. Enoch was so convinced that as long as I'm with God, life is good. Hey, hello? My son says, Daddy, LG, life is good. Okay. You see, when you are walking with God, you have to be steady, because when you are in the presence of God, everything falls in place. Hallelujah. The Bible says Enoch walked steadily with God. In other words, he was unwavering. He was regular. He was even-mannered in the way he walked with God. In other words, when God expected him to be somewhere, God would find him there. Do you know that if you have a habit of worshiping God in the morning, you create an expectation in the spirit where God is expecting you to feature up in that moment of prayer? Are you always faithful? Are you always faithful to appear and say, I've got a date with God? And I will go to my place of prayer. I will go and read the word, because it's my quality time with the Father of life. We honor other people's appointments, but we don't honor our appointment with God. Hey, I don't know how your winter has been, but winter will switch off certain things. Especially those of you who've got electric blankets, you switch on the electric blanket. It's so warm in there that your appointment with God is becoming a secondary issue. But Enoch was so steady with God that when God expected him to be fasting, he would fast. Do you know that God will bring it upon your heart when to fast? And you will know in your heart, it is my time to seek God in a deeper way. And heaven is waiting, and you don't appear. And then we say, Lord, appear unto us. We expect him to appear when we don't appear when he expects us. Have you ever thought like that? Well, the Bible says, even though you are unfaithful, I remain faithful because I can't deny myself. But the walk with God that was going on with Enoch, it was so intimate that God knew what Enoch was going to do. That God was so satisfied with the walk of Enoch. The reason why the Bible says he walked faithfully with God for 300 years, it was in a period of time where man was doing his own stuff. When you read Genesis 5 and Genesis 6, you'll find that it was a period of time where there was so much evil, there was so much iniquity on the face of the earth. Men were living as if God was not there, until God says, I repent that I created man because of the iniquity that was upon man. And man, God said, you know what? I'm going to cut short their lives. Can you see Enoch lived 365 years? His father probably lived another 900 years. And because of the sin that was going on in that time, God said, I'm going to cut the life of man. It was in that period that Enoch was walking with God. You see, I don't know your environment. There are many people who say, my environment is difficult, Pastor. It is difficult to remain true to these things. The environment is tough. People of God, if you love God with all your heart, it doesn't matter what your environment dictates. Your environment will obey what's happening inside of you. Hello? So Enoch was so steady with God. Listen to me. Walking with God touches every aspect of your life. The way you walk with other people, the way you make decisions, and the way you conduct business. I know people who've got this dichotomous view to life where they say there's an aspect of life that is sacred, but there's an aspect of life that is not sacred. It is common. It is secular. So when I go to work, I live one way because it is secular. But when I come to church, I walk and talk like a Christian. No. The desire of God is for us to live a holistic way of life that says God is God over all. He's God over my sacred life in these four walls. He's God over what you call secular. I don't think our workplaces are secular. I think our workplaces are sacred because they are places of ministry for believers. They are places where we can minister to people because that's an opportunity for us to get in touch with those who don't know Jesus. So the question is also, what makes our lives attractive to God? What makes your life attractive, so attractive that God comes down? I don't know if you've ever worked with people who smell like God, who talk like God. You become very careful. I know there's a couple that we're very close to, and the wife is very prophetic. So when we go out for lunch and for dinner, you're almost like very careful about what you say. Okay, what you think about, because you're around somebody who has walked with God very closely, who are very sensitive to God. Hello? I'm talking about an individual here. What more if we are so sensitive about God? Now, what makes our lives attractive to God? Let's go back to Hebrews 11:5. Now we're unpacking this. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. By faith, Enoch walked with God. Why did Enoch need faith? Why did Enoch need faith? The reason why Enoch needed faith, it is because you cannot walk with an imaginary person unless you're going cuckoos in your mind. Your faith should bring you to the realities of God, where he is not just an imaginary God, but he's a real God that you sense in your life. I don't know if you hear me this morning. Your faith needs to bring you to a place where the presence of God is so real that you don't need goosebumps for you to know God is with you. You cannot walk with God unless your faith prompts you to believe that God is. Unless your faith brings you to a place of knowing the realities of God. Now, this is the key. The key to walking with God is to have faith that allows you to sense his presence, his active presence around you. That is why the Bible says, by faith, Enoch walked with God. And you, child of God, you need that type of faith that enables you to know that God is with me. I don't know what you need to remind you of the presence of God in your life. That is why the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, for whoever comes to God must know that he is. Your walk with God, is it just a religious act, or it comes from the evidence and the assurance of the unseen? Remember, we spoke about Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Until the realities of God are so impressed in your spirit, man, you will be religious in your walk with God. Okay. I'm going to pause there. Until your faith has allowed you to believe in the very essence of God, in His very presence in your life, your walk with God is just a mundane, it's a religious act. Because it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Why? For whoever comes to Him must know and believe that He is. You don't just believe in His existence, you believe in His active presence. Hello, somebody. We know of His omnipresence. We know of His omnipresence. God is around us. God is everywhere. But we haven't grasped His active presence. God is omnipresent. What that means is He is everywhere. He sees everything. He senses everything. But how come He doesn't act all the time? That's a very good question for you to answer. We talk about the omnipresence of God. There's a place where David says, where do I go away from your presence? If I put my bed in the pits of hell, your presence is there. If I put my bed under the waters, your presence is there. Where do I go where your presence doesn't go? But how come God doesn't act all the time? So there is what we call a passive presence of God and the active presence of God. What brings the connection between His passive presence, His omnipresence, and His active presence? It's when you and I are fully convinced that He's actively present in our lives. It's when your faith allows you, even when your flesh tells you God is not here, your faith should convince and change the way you feel that God is with me. Do you hear me this morning? Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever comes to God must know that He is. When you pray, instead of being in autopilot, you must be aware of His presence in your prayer room. When you speak in a new tongue, instead of being mechanical in your speaking of tongues, you must be aware I'm speaking in the Spirit. Many people are not benefiting from the things of the Spirit because it's all in autopilot. It's all religious. Now, Enoch walked with God in the absence of the inhabiting Spirit of God. You know that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come from time to time. The Holy Spirit would come upon somebody. The Holy Spirit would empower somebody, give them a divine ability to fulfill a mandate from heaven, but the Holy Spirit would lift. But now, we are in a state, in a situation, where we have the Holy Spirit permanently dwelling inside of us. It means the way that Enoch walked, we should better that. Why? Because we've got the activities of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know that the work of the Holy Spirit is to present to you the realities of God. I don't know what type of relationship you have with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit, maybe you're uncomfortable with me saying the Holy Ghost. But the KJV says the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. When you connect at a deeper dimension with the Holy Spirit, He will reveal to you the Father. He will reveal to you Jesus. He will reveal to you deep secrets that are found in the heart of God. Where do I find that? 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. For eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, no mind has conceived what the Father has stored up for those that love Him. It further says, but the Spirit of God has revealed these things to us. But the Spirit of God who dwells in God, the Spirit of God who searches the deep things of God, comes to me and says, Michael, this is the Father. This is what He's thinking about you right now. This is how He feels about you. He's telling you that He's right here with you. He loves you. He hasn't forsaken you. You might not feel it. You see, our walk with God of faith has to move us from a place of feelings to a place of knowing. Hello? We should move from feelings and goosebumps and falling in the Spirit and to say, oh, the presence of God is here. That's not faith. The reason why I'm saying it's not faith, it is because it's what we see with our naked eyes. The Bible says we do not walk by sight, but we walk by faith. The trigger should not be what we see with our eyes. The trigger is what we sense in our spirit man. That is what will trigger what happens in the natural. When we come to church, we're expecting the mighty move of God. Hey, what we see with our eyes, you don't see it, you fall back in your cocoon. No. When you don't sense it, you keep pushing because you know he's right here. And it's a matter of time before his glory is manifested in the natural, before the weight of his presence can be felt by people. But the trigger is somebody who walks by faith, who knows that even if I don't sense him, I know he is here. Does somebody hear me this morning? That was the issue with Enoch. Enoch was fully convinced. Enoch had the evidence of the presence of God in his life, and that was attractive before God. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. You want to know mysteries? You want to have revelations of the Word of God? Get in the Spirit. Because the Spirit searches what's in the heart of God and he deposits it in our spirit man. Listen to me. When you become aware of his active presence, you will start relating to him like a person who is around you. Is it weird to talk to God by yourself? Do you feel weird when you say, Father, what's on your heart right now? Hello? When your faith brings you to a place of being aware of his presence, you start relating to him. It breaks away the religious spirit. You are able to see things in the spirit. Why? Because you are aware of his active presence. Your faith must bring you to a place of seeing him as an almighty God, as an all-present God, as an all-knowing God, that there's nothing that catches him by surprise. Listen to me. Your view of God will determine your worship of God. It will determine your expectation of him and ultimately the way you treat him. Your view of God will determine your worship of God. Because when you know I'm in the presence of the Almighty God, you fall down on your knees and you worship the King of Glory. When you know I'm before the mighty God, before you lie that blue lie, you don't lie because I'm in the presence of the mighty God. Hello? Before you hold a grudge for too long in your heart, you say, wait a moment, I'm in the presence of the Almighty God. You let go of the grudge. Do you see how your awareness of his presence and your view of God infiltrate everything that you do in your life? Do you hear me this morning? So your view of God will determine your worship of God, your expectation of him, and the way you treat him. When you are walking with somebody who is loaded, who is wealthy, you're expecting that, you know, I'm sure he'll walk into that shop and buy me that Rolex watch, you know. Imagine walking with Bill Gates. I don't know. Warren Buffett. Imagine walking with those guys. What would be your expectation? What would be the nature of your conversation with them? If he says to you, Michael, let's go for lunch. Where do you want to go for lunch? Are you going to say, well, KFC will do? Or you will say, I know of a 5-star hotel where they serve a 6-course meal. And you say, oh yeah, well, let's go. Your view of God will determine your expectation of him. How big is your God? The issue is, it's not us making him bigger. No, he's already a mighty God. It's about how much we're able to contain the size of God. The greater he is in my mind, the greater he does in my life. Because that view of God becomes a container that contains God. Hallelujah. The problem has never been the source. The problem has always been the container. Where it comes from, it will not run out. Every one of us here will get the water of the living God. We'll be refreshed, all of us, because we're not talking about the river. We are talking about the source, the fountain of life. Your view of God will determine your worship. It will determine what you expect him to do, what he can do, and what he cannot do. If your God is smaller than Panadol, it means when there's a headache in your life, you don't go to that God. You go to Panadol. Okay, did you hear me right there? If your God is smaller than painkillers. When there's pain in your heart, you don't go to that God. But if your God is bigger than anything in this world, that is your first port of call. If your God is better than, is smaller than your counselor, your psychologist, if God is smaller than your psychologist, when there are relational issues, you go to your psychologist first. But if your God is bigger than your psychologist, if God created that psychologist, I'm sure your God is able to deal with your problems. I'm not anti-medicine, guys. I'm not anti-counseling. But I'm just putting this into the right perspective. Before you hit the road to go see a psychiatrist, hit the road to seek God. Hello? That's how we should live. That is what walking with God is. The way you view God will determine your worship, your expectations of Him, and the way you treat Him generally. Look at Malachi 6, 1 verse 6. Malachi 1 verse 6. The Lord of heaven's armies says to the priests, a son honors his father, and a servant respects his master. If I am your father and master, where are the honor and the respect I deserve? A son honors his father. A servant respects his master. If I am your father and your master, where are the honor and the respect I deserve? It comes down to our view of God. When we view Him as our father, we give Him all the honor that is due to a father. When we view Him as our master, we give Him all the respect that is due to a master. There's a place further down in Malachi where God was saying, you have robbed me. And He says, you have given me animals that are crippled. You have given me animals that are blind. And He says, if you think I'm lying to you, just try and take one of those crippled animals and give them to your premium and see if he will receive it, your premium. Give them to your governor and see if they will receive that animal that is blind. What God was saying here is that if I am your father, see me as that. See me as your father. See me as your as your master. Isaiah 1 verse 2. He says, listen, O heavens. Pay attention, earth. This is what the Lord says. The children I raised and cared for have rebelled against me. Even an ox knows its owner. Those of you who've been to rural areas, if you've been involved in being a shepherd boy, even if your animals are lost, they will find their way back to their crow. Why? They know their crow. They know their crib. But the people of God seem to forget their crib. They seem to forget their maker. And he says here, a donkey even recognizes its master's care. But Israel doesn't know its master. My people don't recognize my care for them. It's the view that we have of God. It's how we view God. So what made Enoch pleasant unto God? It was his faith that enabled him to believe in the existence and the active presence of God. So he did not act as if God is another arbitrary entity out there. He walked as if God was walking right here with him. He acted as if God was watching the same movies that he was watching. I don't know if you ever sense like that. You're watching this movie and there are certain scenes coming up and you try and skip. And I'm like, it's not really the right thing for me to watch. The reason why you're feeling uncomfortable, it is because Jesus, his presence is right there with you. And he's saying, you ought not be watching this stuff. It's defiling you. Hello? Yeah. If you haven't felt like that, when you're watching, okay, let's take an ad break. So I was saying, if you haven't experienced those kind of feelings when you're in a dodgy place, I don't know, did Jesus walk with you into those places? Are you watching that movie with Jesus? Because I believe there are certain things that Jesus cannot just allow around him. But the reason why we just continue is because maybe he's not really there. Or we haven't really seen him as an active present God. So Enoch was pleasant because his faith enabled him to believe in the existence of God. Now, how else did Enoch's walk brought pleasure before God? Let's go back to verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. All right? Secondly, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I don't know if you're seeing here the answers to this issue of walking with God. Firstly, the Bible says Enoch walked faithfully with God. And secondly, we have seen that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Why? For whoever comes to God must know that he is. And secondly, he must know that he is a rewarder of those that seek him diligently. So this is the key. Your diligence in pursuit of God brings pleasure to him. Your diligence in the pursuit of God brings pleasure to him. Let me use people who are married. As a wife, if you know that your husband pursues after you, okay, if you know your husband just wants you, okay, if you know that your husband can't go right through the day without hearing my voice, what does that do to your heart? It makes your heart full. It makes you feel excited. It makes you feel you are on top of the list. It makes you feel you're the woman in his life. And guess what? You return the same. You return the same. You receive the same love. You give it back. And you say, honey, I can't wait to have you back home. Okay, guys, are there married people here? Okay? All right? I'm talking about that kind of a situation because this is our relationship with Jesus. The Bible says he's a bridegroom and the church is a bride. The Bible says he died for the church. He washes the church with the word. He purifies the church so that the church can be presented back to him without any blemish. In other words, Jesus capacitates the church to present herself unto him as a blameless bride. Husbands and wives, what we do, we capacitate our wives so that they can present themselves back to us in their most beautiful state. In other words, we buy what they want. We put down our money where our mouth is. We don't just say, well, I just love the way your lip gloss look like without buying her that stuff. Okay, it's marriage counseling 101. But this is the key. When God sees you pursuing him, what it does, he gets this pleasure inside of him. It creates a level of intimacy. And we know what intimacy means. Into me, see. We become vulnerable with one another. We start sharing secrets that are not shared out there with other people. Yes, the Bible tells us about Abraham and God, where God came down and says, shall I hide what I'm about to do from my friend Abraham? And say, I'm going to tell him, I'm about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. This is what happens when we go into me see with God. When we pursue God with everything within us, God does not play hide and seek with us. When we seek him, we find him. It doesn't act like those kids who say, you can't find me. You can't find me playing hide and seek. No. When we seek God with all our hearts, the Bible says he's a rewarder of those that seek him diligently. So your diligence in pursuit of God brings pleasure to him. There is no reward. This is very key. There is no reward comparable to the felt presence of God who has found us and the one whom we have found. I don't know when you read this Hebrews 11:6. I don't know what was coming into your mind when you read he is a rewarder of those that seek him diligently. Yeah. I'm sure a lot of people were like, Lord, you reward me because I'm seeking you. We are thinking of physical reward. We are thinking of God breaking through for us. We are thinking of God opening doors for us. But that's not the major key here. The reward we're talking about is the reward of his presence in your life. If you seek him, why would he give you a car? If you seek him, he will give you what you're seeking after. You are seeking him, and therefore he opens himself up to you. He reveals himself to you. He shows you a higher dimension of himself that other people have not seen. I want you to know, when you make up your mind today to say, I will seek him with all my heart, he will show himself in another dimension, because he's a multifaceted God. He's a multifaceted God. We cannot comprehend him just in a one moment. Why do I say that? When God was talking to Miriam and Aaron, after they had said, who does Moses think he is? Does he think he's a better prophet than all of us? And they were saying, no, man, God also speaks to us. The Bible says God had their conversation and he came down. And he says, Aaron, come. Miriam, come. Moses, come. And he says, how dare you two talk against my friend Moses? To Moses, I spoke to him man to man, as a friend speaks to a friend. But to you, I speak to you in dreams and in visions. Why were you not afraid to speak against my friend Moses? Moses had sought God to another dimension, where God was now coming down and speaking to him in a person. Nobody has had that experience. Moses has had that. But I believe with all my heart that when the church comes down to seeking God, that church will see God in other dimensions that cannot be seen anywhere else. Are we in that place right now that we seek God to that place? So there is a level of diligence. There is a level of discipline. There is a level of commitment it takes for us to walk with God. It will cost you. I want you to know that salvation was free, but it was not cheap. Salvation is free for all of us, but it costed the life of Jesus. He died on the cross, and not just any other death, but the death of a sinner. And I want you to know the anointing is there for all of us to take, but the anointing is expensive. It will take you to go deeper in your walk with God, where you say, I will not move until I sense your presence. I will not stop praying until something changes in my inner man. Where are those believers today who will fast just because they want more of God? Today we fast because we want a breakthrough. We fast because we want a job. But the Lord is looking for a church that will go on a time of fasting, not because they want money, but because they want the God of the money. Hello, somebody. This is key, people of God. If we can do that, we'll experience a deeper walk with him. Luke 10:25. Let's try and bring this home and finish off. But we're talking about faith that draws attention. Verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? He was a teacher of the law. I mean, he's a lawyer. He's a lawyer. And Jesus is saying, you have read the law? What is written? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. That is walking with God. That is seeking after God when our hearts are in it. When our emotions are in it. When our body is in it. When our will, our intellect is involved in seeking God. So many times there's no relationship or there's no alignment between our will and our emotions. We need to get to a point where there's an alignment. Your will, your emotions, your intellect is telling you, I'm going to seek God with everything within me. David says, bless the Lord, all my soul. And so your mind, your body, your strength got to be involved. When you come to church, come all of you. Uh-huh. You can be here, your body, but your spirit, your mind is somewhere else, wondering, thinking about all the fights that are coming through this coming week. Thinking about your car that is not working properly. Thinking about that debt that you haven't paid and you received the last summons yesterday. Whatever the case might be, true worship brings your everything in the moment and you'll be able to serve God. Now, the Apostle Paul placed so much value in knowing Jesus that he counted everything else as loss. The Apostle Paul was saying, if there's any man who should boast in the flesh, that man is me. Because I'm a Benjamite. I'm a pure breed of the Jews. In terms of the law, I'm a Pharisee. I sit under Gamaliel, the greatest of teachers. If I should have confidence in the flesh, I am one who should have confidence in the flesh. However, when I came in touch with Jesus, when I came into contact with the King of Glory, it changed everything. Hallelujah. In verse 7 of Philippians 3, it says, I once thought these things were valuable. In other words, my qualifications, my title at work, the type of car I drive, the husband I have. I thought that was it in my life until I met a greater dimension of life. Until I met a greater level of glory. And it says here, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. So that I can gain Christ, so I can become one with him. The pleasures of this world, I'm going to put them aside so that I can gain Christ and become one with him. I don't have verse 10 there, but verse 10 goes and says, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, that in the process I might be a partaker of his glory, that I might know Christ. That is the people who seek God. Now, as we close off, there are two types of believers. There are two types of believers, the one that pursues God and the other that pursues the pleasures of life. The one who lives his Christianity out of convenience. If it's convenient, I will do it. So there is a Martha type of believer, and there is a Mary type of believer. Luke 10, verse 38. And Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem. They came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. His sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Do you have a sister like that? If sister says, Mommy, I'm doing the dishes by myself, but she's sitting there. Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. Martha, Martha, Martha. Martha, you are worried about details of life. Martha, you are worried about the big banquet. Martha, you are worried about what you're going to eat tomorrow. Martha, you are worried about the way you look. But Jesus says, all of that doesn't really matter. What really matters is sitting at the feet of the Lord. What matters is spending time at the feet of the Lord. Mary chose right. I pray for Mary's today. In the midst of distractions and the busyness of life, they're able to choose right. They're able to choose what really matters in life. They're able to prioritize their walk. And they'll say, this is of importance, and therefore I'll pay attention to that. And I'm talking about the faith that is attractive. I want us to stand on our feet today. What's the level of your faith? Is it so attractive that God cannot help it but take you right now and say, I want to be with you? Because as for Enoch, his walk with God was so precious that God raptured him to be with him. And guess what? We will be raptured one day. The Lord is coming back. But he says, when I come back, will I find faith on earth? There is no one who will enter heaven unless you have walked with God. Unless you have opened your life to him. Enoch was a picture of what will happen to believers one day when we will all be raptured or we'll all be taken up in the clouds and be with the Lord forever. Yes, I'm not saying we might not be raptured now. We might never be raptured right now, but at his coming back, at his second coming, the church will be taken up. Those who are alive, they'll catch up with him in the clouds, and those who died in the Lord will be lifted up and they'll meet him in the clouds and will be forever before him. Right now we have a moment to choose like Mary chose, where Mary said, I know Jesus needs to be fed, but I want to be fed by him. I want to be fed by him at his feet. I'm going to sit and listen to him speak. What are your priorities right now? Are you worried about kitchens? Arranging tables? I want us to pray. You make a commitment and say, give me that faith, Lord. Faith that sees you as you are. Faith that believes that if I seek you with all my heart, I will find you. Because he's a rewarder of those that seek him diligently. I want you to pray for yourself right now. Whatever the Lord has laid on your heart, speak it out to him and make a commitment today. Shall we pray? Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I've taught your word. I pray that this morning something would happen in the hearts of your children. I pray that there will be a new spirit that rises up in this church, that pursues you, that seeks after you. I pray that your children would be hungry for you, because your word says, blessed are the hungry, blessed are the thirst, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the poor in the spirit, for they shall see heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Father, we pray this morning that we rise up as a church. We become what you've called us to be. We pray this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray that you create in us a hunger and a thirst in the spirit for you. Oh, King of glory, we pray for a turnaround. We pray for a shift in the spirit. Come and do it in our days, oh God. We give you praise and we give you glory this morning. In Jesus' name. With our heads bowed down, I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus. Maybe you're here. You haven't said yes